Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Four Seasons Fire World Cup with USA versus Ghana. You can follow me with the readings at MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, member of the EPL Talk family of websites. Don't forget World Cup Buzz podcasts with host Richard Farley. And I am joined today by, once again, Mr. Carter Krishnayer, of course, head communications officer of the North American Soccer League and devoted USA fan. And you've known him as the original host of the American Soccer Show of CSRN and, of course, Major League Soccer Talk podcast and the EPL Talk podcast. Kardik, we thought we'd have another miracle. They did level it with a penalty, and unfortunately, early on in extra time, Asamoah Gyan just put the dagger into the net, and that was it. That's all we had.
Yeah, unfortunately, Daniel, greetings to everybody out there. Excuse the drums in the background. I'm at an NASL match or a D2 match, USSF D2 match, Austin, and Miami FC here in Fort Lauderdale as we speak. But the vibe around the country the last couple of days has been great, and we had a watch party today where we had to start turning people away. The place is filled, 500 people max. We didn't want the fire marshal to come out. That's how exciting a day was today. But again, we were on the back foot much of the day. Ghana's midfield, as we talked about on yesterday's show, Daniel, very impressive. They knock the ball around well. They find space. Set up very well by Rajovic, who, by the way, not sure if this has been discussed, but as former New York Arrows player, the Serbian manager of Ghana, New York Arrows of the MISL. So it's a tough way to leave the World Cup. Always disappointed, but of course we lost to a better team today. So. And Ghana, it's certainly nice for the African continent to have a team that's got a genuine chance to win this World Cup.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we already knew how talented and how tough Ghana was going to be before this match. But once again, Kardik, and I hate to say this, you know, giving up that first early goal. I mean, Ricardo Clark had the ball. He was forced into a turnover that he really shouldn't have been in the first place. And Kevin Prince-Boateng just took advantage of Tim Howard, unfortunately, not being in a good position, and scored.
Yeah, great strike from Kevin Prince-Boateng. Bad giveaway by Clark. Credit to Bob Bradley. He made the change, brought Maurice St. Douin in minute 31. I loved how Coach Bradley went over to Rico, talked to him, and made sure that he understood that we still need him. And he tried to boost his self-confidence. You see a lot of managers just give angry glances at players after a mistake like that. So really classy move by Coach Bradley.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, the damage was already done at that point.
Yes, it was. And once again, my fears came true. A flat start, a very flat start by the club. They coughed up another early goal within the first 5-10 minutes of the match. And that has been the only problem. Besides that, once again, no Edson Buttle coming off the bench, no Edson Buttle in the starting 11. And while I've never questioned the tactics or the formations of Bob Bradley, it's always been selection of the starting 11. And once again, I mean, I don't doubt Altidore, but once again, it was his first real, you know, chance to play for the national team. Let's be honest. I mean, the speed is there, but the imagination, it's just not.
Yeah, creativity's not there. We saw that for sure today. There's a real gap in creativity. No one who can break down a well entrenched defense, a well organized defense. Now, we like the fact that we have Benny Foulhaber now that can hold the ball up well, but unfortunately we're at a point where we're not able to get a creative midfielder in there. That's something that we need to develop in our player pool. Again, I see a lot of criticism of Coach Bradley out there. I'm not quite sure what they feel he could have done differently in this World Cup. I mean, I think we pretty much hit our level. You know, maybe we don't have a Goose Heating or a coach that's going to get us to the semifinals with the talent level we have. But considering the talent level we have, getting out of the group with an attainable goal And anything above that was gravy. And Bradley got it to that point. And he made, I think he made some interesting decisions as far as the team's setup on all four matches, but was able to make some appropriate changes when some of his moves backfired. For example, we talked obviously about the starting of Robbie Finley today. He made the change, brought Feilhaber in. The Edson Buddle thing, I don't really understand. I think Buddle, the issue with him is that he's like for like. He's very similar to Jozy Altidore as a player.
Probably so there, Kardik, but still, I mean, wouldn't you I mean, I understand you want some speed, but that's what the midfielders are there for. That's what the wing players are there for. You know, if you got strong and fast wing players in the midfield going down the flanks, they will give service to players like Altidore, like Buddle, who will punch their way in and score that goal. Now, obviously, we did pull one back. We leveled it. We got a penalty, and I think now I could. First time we've ever earned a penalty kick attempt and converted it in the World Cup, Kardik, and that was Landon Donovan. You still there, Kardik?
I am. I was taking in that point of yours. Very interesting situation though with our player pool. I mean, I don't know that our pool is as talented as it was in 2002. I'm not sure that we're developing the kind of players we need to make that next step. We're an emerging football nation, and we've done quite well. We've done well in this World Cup, thanks to Coach Bradley, and thanks to the resilience of some of the guys we've got out there. But we are still limited in what we can do. You come up against a team like Ghana, you see the technique their players have. This is Ghana without Michael Essien, one of the best players in the world, injured for this World Cup. They'd be a genuine contender to win. Yeah, unfortunately, they'd be a genuine contender to win this World Cup if they had them. But you look at the technical skill of their players, how they trap the ball, how they move off the ball, the shape that their midfield is seeing, and you see that their development system is very, very good. And we need to improve our development system and produce some more creative players.
Yes, without a doubt, we need to create more. Better technical players. I think it's also time to take a look and see what some of the MLS clubs can do with their youth systems. Obviously, the New York Red Bulls have a very talented youth system that goes all over the world, as well as playing within the NPSL League, in the U.S. Soccer Development Academy League. But just to go back, I don't know if you caught my question there. Was Landon Donovan's penalty conversion was the World Cup for the United States?
I lost you for a second there. What was it about the World Cup for the United States?
For the penalty.
Right.
First in the World Cup?
Was that our first converted penalty in the World Cup? I believe it was. We've saved some penalties. We've given up penalties. Brad Friedel saved some penalties. I believe that was the first penalty we've had called our way in a World Cup. I think you're right when you say that. In fact, did we have a penalty? No. That's right. In 1990, we didn't get a penalty either. You there?
I'm back. I got Skype knocked me off. Oop. Kardik just ended. I'll try and get him back on as fast as I can. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was the first penalty conversion that we've had for the USA. And, you know, once again, it's just... there's Kardik. Let me get him back. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm sure I'm here.
Sorry about that. Skype kicked me off.
Yeah, I'm used to those kinds of problems with Skype.
Yeah,
aren't we
all? If it's not you, it's me. If it's not me, it's somebody else. But, yeah, you know, like, attempt and the first one converted in the World Cup. That's also another positive thing I would have to say, that I think we're finally getting respect from the officials when it comes to the FIFA World Cup, that we're finally getting some of that respect into our end of the pitch there, Kardik. But still, I believe, you know, we still need more from the Bradenton Academy development for our players. We still need more of, I guess, very good coaches. And here's the what type of a coach do we really need? Internal, outside the World Cup? I mean, who is out there that really wants to come and coach our national team?
Nobody. I mean, I would actually renew Bob Bradley's contract if I'm the U.S. Soccer Federation. I'm not the U.S. Soccer Federation. They have to make a decision on Coach Bradley. We didn't overwhelm at this World Cup. We didn't underwhelm either. We hit our level, which is more than we did in 2006. For example, more than we did in 1998. What we need is a technical director with some international coaching experience and some experience with player development abroad and how the player development system is structured in the rest of the world. Now, what we're finding is our players don't have the touch, they don't have the tactical sense. Now, Bob Bradley can put together good tactics, which he's done. Done throughout this World Cup, he did throughout qualifying, but our players don't have the positioning set that they necessarily need. You see that today with Ghana. Rejovic, a good manager, a serving manager, comes in. Those players already have that tactical sense, so he's able to put them in a system, and their positioning is good, their touches are good, their passing's good, they always know where the open man is. Now, Bob Bradley, I want to remind our listeners, he has these players for two, three, four days at a time. Doesn't have these players. I mean, he's not a club coach. And I see all this criticism of Bradley saying, oh, you know, he hasn't taught his players to do this, he hasn't taught his players to do that. That's not his job. He's not a club manager. Talk to these guys' club managers if you're concerned about their tactical scent and their technical ability. Talk to their youth club coaches about the technical ability. Don't talk about Bradley about it.
Exactly, because that's not his job. He was before with Chicago, with the Metro Stars, and, of course, with Chivas USA. If you want to complain about that, well, then those were the times that you should have said something. But he's the U.S. national team coach. This is a whole different story. And I think this is why sometimes those people who would support more the national team than their own league, they just don't understand. Bob Bradley is the coach of the national team. He doesn't have to worry about developing players. He has to worry about how have their developments been going, and at the same time, who he feels is ready to be on this national team and to be on the World Cup.
Yeah, and let's face it, we were really messed up by Charlie Davies' injury. We were really messed up by Gucci's injury. Thought Jay DeMarit had a pretty good World Cup, but Bocanegra had to be shifted back inside. Bornstein certainly did okay today. But, I mean, you know, Ghana has too much class for us. You know, we were always going to be up against it in this game, as we talked about.
Yeah.
So we were going to need another resilient, gritty effort to beat this team, this Ghanaian team, the best team we played in the World Cup to this point, better than the three teams they played at the group stage.
Yeah.
And we were just out of gas.
Exactly.
It showed in the last 30 minutes. They were running circles around us.
Yeah.
Again, that's not Bradley's fault.
Nope. It's definitely not Bradley's fault. And it's not like, you know, we're Bradley apologists or anything. We see the game. We know what's going on. We do see this game fair and balanced. And let me tell you something. Bob Bradley he's done so much with this team. He's done all he can. If certain things didn't happen, obviously with Aguchi Onyewu getting injured in the last qualifier against Costa Rica and the car accident that happened with Charlie Davies in our nation's capital today, be a different story probably.
You want to know the truth about our talent level?
Please.
Algeria has more talent than we do.
Algeria
has more talent than we do. We beat them. We finished first in the group. They finished last.
Right. Right.
And again, people who say Bradley's in charge of player development, I don't know where they get that from. I hope Bradley's the coach for the next 4 years.
I wouldn't mind it.
I'm not sure he will be, but I hope he is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him another 4 years for Bradley to go out there and do what he did. And, you know, if we can get some of these players back healthy and, you know, pick the right players to go out there and do some damage, you know, things can be a lot better in the next World Cup as it's going to be in Brazil. Let's hope we can qualify better as well and not wait till we get to Honduras.
Right. Yeah, I think the teams in the next World Cup that are going to be really strong are Brazil, Mexico is continuing to develop well. I think Ghana, who we saw today, got really good young core. I'm excited about that team. You know, disappointed by our loss, but excited by what we saw from them today with a bunch of young players, U-20 players, and a number of really good technical players. Also, I think South Korea and Japan continue to emerge as forces in the world game. You're seeing less European dominance. You're seeing less of the European nation able to compete off European soil. I think it's fair to say we probably will see another you see here Fernando Clavijo yelling behind me. Apologize to the listeners for that.
That's quite all right. Don't worry about it.
Soccer for Miami FC. He's you know, furious. Those of you who follow MLS, you know Fernando well and have heard him from the technical area say that. Now that he's the director of soccer, he's upstairs with me. I think we're seeing continued degradation of our decline of European football on the world stage, and the emerging nations of South America outside of Brazil and Argentina, Uruguay, very bright, Chile, very bright, Ecuador, being qualified, but very bright, developing, South Korea, Japan, really good stuff from them. Really enjoyed watching both those teams in this tournament, the U.S., Mexico, and then, of course, also some of the countries in Africa, Ghana, we talked about, but there's also Cote d'Ivoire, who got unlucky this World Cup with an injury to Didier Drogba. I think if he's healthy, they finish ahead of Portugal in that group. And the recovery of South Africa under Carlos Alberto Pereira. Now they're going to have probably a native South African head coach who inherits a tested squad. So you see football developing outside of Europe, which is
exactly.
A further cause. If you want to be snobbish and say, well, you only like European football and you want to watch the Premier League, that's your choice. But I would suggest people watch MLS. I'd suggest people watch our league, USFB2. Suggest people watch the Mexican League. Catch a Brazilian game when you can. Catch a J-League in Japan, K-League in Korea. It'll really open your mind to what's going on in the rest of the world. These people are watching too much Premier League, and then they're making assumptions. The same people criticizing Bradley based on their watching of the Premier League constantly. And the world game is not like the English game. The game in England is so different than the game in Southern Europe, the game in Latin America. But we have fans who formulate opinions based on what they see goes on in England. And this is a problem. I mean, even if they watch the Italian league, they would learn something.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would have
want
to say,
Daniel, I think we have too many fans who are just watching England and they want to mimic England. They think the English game is the real game. And, you know, I have guys criticizing me saying, oh, how can you watch the Bundesliga? Well, you know, I watch the Bundesliga, it's a good week and I enjoy the football. Oh, well, it's not the best league. Well, maybe you don't think it's the best league. I'm not into comparing these leagues. The English fans want to say that, but see, they've indoctrinated a lot of American fans into believing if it's not the Premier League, it's not any good.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing that the fans have to understand. It's not always England that's the best in the world. I mean, you know, as long as the football is good, that's all I care about. I can care less where it comes from. I mean, I'll watch the Premiership. I'll watch La Liga. I'll watch Bundesliga. I'll watch the Serie A. If I have to watch the Brazilian League or the Argentine League or even the Mexican League, I'll watch it too. It's fine. But the thing is that people have to stop assuming that the number one league in the world is the Premiership. It may be the most that John Hark said? The Premiership is probably the most popular league to watch, but the best league is in either Spain or Germany.
Right. Right.
So,
the Spanish league, the German league, are, for me, the two best leagues. Top to bottom, the German league. It's a lot more tactical variation in German, too. I mean, I would also suggest watching what you see coming from J-League in Japan. I think it's a very underrated league. the Premier League, you know, is a very the conditions also, the climate conditions in England are different than in the rest of the world. So you have to play a certain way there. I mean, I just think that there's continued effort by Anglophiles to force us to our football institutions to reflect some sort of British model, and they're getting an upper hand. This is my concern. I mean, I'm sure that their suggestion to replace Bradley would be an English coach.
Yeah, but then again, who wants to come over here from England? That's the thing.
Well, right.
Who? You got to give me a name. I mean, seriously, if you're going to tell me that someone from the English league, from the Premiership, is going to come to the United States and coach our national team, give me a name that's going to take it seriously and wants to give our players the success that they need to reach to the next level. That is all
there are no English coaches in the Premier League. There are hardly any English coaches. There's one English coach outside the Premier League in the rest of Europe, and that being Steve McLaren, who has been ridiculed at home, but is a much better manager than a lot give him credit for in England. I don't want an English manager. I mean, I think we're better off going down the street. So if we're gonna get rid of Bradley, I think we should keep him for another 4 years. So we're gonna get him. We're better off going to the youth club down the street and picking up a coach from there than picking an English coach.
Exactly. Or if you want to take a look and see it within MLS, I mean, I would like to think maybe Dominic Kinnear has a good choice to be our next coach. Maybe Steve Nichol, if he wants the job.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Nichol would be a good one.
Maybe even Ziggy Schmidt. Maybe he wants to run the U.S. national.
Ziggy's obviously been involved with the U.S. coaching setup before. I think he would definitely be a potential choice. And he's definitely a very good hands-on player development man with the youth. So he'd be a good choice. I like Nichol. I mean, if we're going to look for a Scottish coach, I mean, Nichol is among the better ones. But again, I would not hire an English coach. I mean, we're playing too many long balls as it is. You saw that today.
Yes.
We need to be playing with the ball on the ground. We need to be developing those things. Bradley's tried to develop that. He wants us to play a lot more one-touch football than we played under Arena. But we don't have the personnel to do it. And then I think too many of these kids, they're watching the Premier League and they're getting some bad habits. Now, I watch a lot of Premier League. Don't get me wrong. But I keep it in perspective. I watch the Premier League, but I also watch the Bundesliga. I also watch the Mexican League. I also watch MLS. I also watch the Italian League. I'm not watching English football in a vacuum like some of these people.
I talked once to Luis Bueno, of course, for Latin Sports Illustrated, and I asked him about what would happen if we could bring Aguirre over to be the head coach of the U.S. national team. That would be a big coup, don't you think?
Well, yeah, Aguirre may be available if Mexico loses tomorrow, which I think they're really up against it. I wish them the best of luck in that match, but, I mean, realistically, I don't think that they have much of a chance.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I like Aguirre. I mean, again, I mean, I'm not an advocate of sacking Bradley, but if he's going to get sacked, we better hire someone. We could do a lot worse than Bob Bradley, I think my point. Aguirre is a successful coach in the Spanish League with Osasuna and Atletico, but again, I mean, maybe some of these people who are pushing the anti-Bradley train, they want a Premier League. They want to play more British style. So if they want to do that, then heaven help us. Now I don't think the Federation will go in that direction, but it's a real threat. The continued Anglophilia among a lot of U.S. fans, and in fact, what's even getting to be more of a concern is the number of Americans. Soccer fans in the United States that are rooting for England.
Yeah, exactly.
They're rooting for England on June 12th against their own national team.
That's terrible. In my eyes, that's just terrible. That's just.
And I suggest all these people pick up Soccernomics by Simon Cooper, and you read what he writes about England and the national team, kind of their imperial hubris. I think you'll get a real sense of where. Why English football continues to fail. I mean, I'm hopeful that Germany can put us out of our misery tomorrow and defeat them, but I'm worried now that Schweinsteiger's hurt. I'm sure you've seen Daniel Katal is now injured. He won't play. Jerome Boateng, the brother of Kevin Prince Boateng, who scored on the U.S. today, he's also injured. He may not play. So England seems to be getting all the breaks.
Well, we'll see what happens on the field because, you know, when you think you got all the breaks and the next thing you know, the ball's in the back of your net and you're going to pick it out of there. So
Germany,
maybe the Germans.
Germany gets better players than England does anyway, so
yes.
Maybe they would still beat them without those guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. But I'll tell you this much, Kardik. You know, I mean, I felt our boys did a decent job. The one thing I just got really concerned about was the flat starts. I mean, they had a flat start against Algeria. They just got lucky that the ball didn't go into the net and it hit the crossbar, and it stayed nil-nil until Donovan's big strike in the 91st.
Yeah, no, that was a lucky break that didn't go in. We should have conceded a goal early there. I mean, I guess Bradley's in for some criticism on that. I think that's just a problem with the U.S. In general. Again, on the whole, I mean, are there things Bradley could have done better? Yeah. But on the whole, I think he's done a good job. And I think what we're going to see from our team going forward is more guys that can play on the ground, less route one football. That's, again, the English influence, route one football. Less long ball tactics. I think what Coach Bradley really wanted to do with this squad, why you saw Benny Feilhaber feature prominently from the United States from the time Bradley took the job, was because he wanted to play with the ball on the ground. And Feilhaber is a player that was never capped under Bob Bradley, under Bruce Arena. Had a great under-20 tournament in 2005 with the U.S. team, playing with Sasha Kleiston in that midfield. But they moved the ball really quickly and nicely.
And I have to say this as well, Kardik. Dean has regained his form. The last time I saw him play this well was back in the Copa 7 against Lionel Messi against Argentina down in Venezuela. I mean, in my view, he's returned back to form. I think finally we're seeing the Jonathan Bornstein that we all saw and hoped he would become back in
07. Yeah, yeah, no, he had two good games, and I thought Johnny B played well today, and hearing discussion of him potentially going to a big club in Mexico. That'll be good to further his career. Now, again, for our Anglophile friends, it's not the Premier League, but maybe it's the league you should check out, the Mexican league. You may be pleasantly surprised by the football. Although, again, if you're locked into the English way of thinking, you wouldn't recognize what you watch in some of these leagues because the style is very different.
Exactly. And not everything has to be the Premiership.
Right. But, I mean, I can't stress to you enough, Daniel, the threat that's coming. That now I've been feeling it for some time, but it's really come to a head during this World Cup. The pro-Anglo faction of fans in the U.S.
I know.
It's enormous. It's growing. And it's encroaching upon what we're trying to accomplish as a football-playing nation.
And once again, it's these people that would rather be watching the Premiership and not watching their own league. And what's going to happen
is, you know,
how are you going to say that, you know, MLS stinks when you're saying, see, they don't even know that Dempsey started his career with the Revolution or Altidore started with
Red Bull. I know. I'm trying to get these guys out to I've hit some of the pubs during Premier League games. I tried to get them out here to Lockhart, where I am right now, at Miami FC. Like, you know, it's not the Premier League. It's not for me. And, you know, I've even said, hey, you know, turn on Gold TV. It's a good Bundesliga game on. I want to see Bremen, you know, Mesut Ozil. He's a great player. We've seen that in the World Cup play against whoever they're playing. On over to Steve Tarundolo. Oh, no, that's a garbage league. That's like a minor league. There's some strange attitude that has developed because of this Premier League mania that swept the United States.
I know. Exactly. And, I mean, you know what? It's very simple to say this. You know, you can tell these people, listen, you can watch the Premiership all you want. You can fawn over England all you want. But guess what? In two World Cup matches, England has not defeated the United States.
Right. And then also England, I mean, they haven't been to a major final since 1966. I mean, we're talking about Greece winning the Euros in 2004. These
exactly.
People don't know that. We're talking about Denmark winning the Euros in 1992. We're talking about, a number of other big countries. Mexico winning in the Gold Cup, U.S. winning in the Gold Cup.
And Canada
America,
in 2000
Uruguay.
Winning the Gold Cup as well.
Canada in 2000 winning the Gold Cup, Japan winning the Asian Cup. I mean, all these countries have accomplished more than England on the international level. And yet there are this group of fans who want to base everything on what they read in the English press and on the English media. And that their inspiration comes from England. Now, Again, England is not Brazil. I've had to say this several times in the last month. If we're busy mimicking England, we're not going to get very far in this sport. Okay, because we're already as good as they are.
Exactly.
We need to be looking at Brazil. We need to be looking at Germany. We need to be looking at Argentina. Those kinds of countries, not England.
Right. Exactly. Because what does England do? I mean, what has England really done? Like you've said before, in the European Championships, their last major championship was in the World Cup in 1966 when they hosted it. And that's it. They haven't hosted another World Cup in a long time. Maybe after Brazil it's going to happen. You never know. But still, what have they done international-wise? All they've done is produce so-called, world-class players, and they haven't really
so-called.
Done much
They're not really world-class players because they produce these players that they keep using an English standard, which is what they do in the Premier League, and calling them world-class. Well, how many guys out of England, honestly, would play for Spain?
Probably.
That's an honest question.
Honestly, I would probably say maybe one player, and that would be it. Maybe Gerrard.
Yeah, maybe. No, I mean make the team. I'm not just talking about start. There's no guy in England that would start for Spain.
No, of course not.
But yet I had someone at one of these watch parties tell me the other day that there were more players for England start for Spain than Spanish players start for England. This is an American guy. How can you have that kind of misconception about the sport? Where does that come from?
It comes from nowhere. It comes from nowhere, and I just think it's a laughable.
Who are you going to take out of that midfield? Fabregas? Take out Iniesta or Xavi to play some English guy to play Lampard?
Exactly. No, I don't. I can't see that. I really can't
maybe,
see
maybe,
that. That's just absolutely
an
asinine comment to make.
Not to play Jermaine Defoe. I mean, it's insane.
Exactly. I mean, how is it that Jermaine Defoe saves England's rear end and the rest of England just couldn't do anything against the U.S. and Algeria?
Yeah, I mean, the pity is that we didn't beat them. We didn't take all 3 points. And then I was disappointed Algeria didn't take all 3 points. Algeria really dominated that game.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it was too bad that England is still alive in this tournament. My hope is that they're eliminated tomorrow. Again, I have no malice towards the English people. I enjoy the Premier League. I travel there a lot. But they have an imperialistic fervor when it comes to this sport. And the reality of the situation is that they're spreading a lot of bad habits to our fans. And I talk to people in Australia who tell me the same thing is happening there.
Really?
Anglo snobbery has developed. People not watching the A-League. People saying, well, we need to do it the English way. People saying, well, look at how the Premier League is. Oh, people saying, we need to hire an English coach. Why are we hiring all these Dutch coaches? It's unbelievable.
Hmm. That's crazy. And,
I mean, would you emulate Holland or would you emulate England? I mean, I think you would emulate Holland.
Of course I would. I would rather emulate Holland. I mean, the idea was to secede from England back in 1776 because of all the baloney and the rubbish.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's coming back, but it's not politics and it's not taxes. It's all about who's the better football league. And it's just a shame to see that no one wants to pay attention to their own league here in the country.
Yep.
Or their own league,
I should say. Well, Daniel, I appreciated the time today on the show, and we'll do this again during the World Cup.
We definitely will. Thanks for your time, Kartik. And listen, let's hope we have a pretty good qualifying for Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll do fine, and we'll be strong in 2014, and I hope Bradley's the manager.
Exactly. Me too. Good luck with Miami FC today, Kartik.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Kartik Krishnaiyer, head communications officer of the North American Soccer League. And, of course, he is a very avid follower of the U.S. national team, as well as what's going on in the lower leagues below Major League Soccer. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play you some highlights right now. Courtesy of ESPN, Ian Dark, of course, the commentator. That fifth-minute slap in the face as Kevin Prince Boateng was able to get the ball after a turnover from Ricardo Clark. And, of course, that is when it was deja vu all over again.
There's Milovan Rajevac, the coach who arrived as the coach of Ghana. Something of an unknown, but he's doing a pretty good job with them. Ghana got past the first round in their first World Cup. They've done it again this time. Here's Kevin Prince-Boateng attacking on this side and scoring! The U.S. concede early again. It's Kevin Prince-Boateng who gets his first goal.
the first slap in the face against the United States. And then, once again, a flat performance by the boys going out there, and it's just absolutely terrible again. And, of course, they started revving it up a little bit more. Ghana did have some dangerous chances, but that's all they can do in the first half, just try to be dangerous and try not to allow a counterattack by the U.S., and the U.S. just couldn't concede anything. They couldn't even get anything going on. They were getting stopped in the midfield. They were trying hard. There was a substitution early on by Bob Bradley, brought in Maurice Adu for Mark. And, of course, you saw what happened with Rico. I think Rico's a decent defensive midfielder who has some offensive capabilities, but once again, if you're not going to have your head in the match, you're not going to do anything at all. And unfortunately for Rico, he didn't do anything at all. I felt bad for him, but at the same time, you know, you're in the round of 16. You can't just sit there and assume, you know, that they're going to lie down for you, and you got to go out there and you got to perform. And unfortunately, they just did not perform. But then in the second half, in the 61st minute, it was Clint Dempsey on his horse attacking, and then he got taken down the area. Penalty for the United States. Penalty kick for the boys. Landon Donovan went to take the spot kick in the 62nd minute, and here is what
That's
happened.
A good ball. He's found there to Guardiola, who plays it deep. Saifi with a header. Howard gratefully claims it. Oh.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm afraid we don't have the penalty call here, because that was from the last Donovan's match winner. But you know, we can just basically say Landon, he put it in, gave the USA the equalizer. Several more chances were coming for the USA, and unfortunately, it just wasn't there. It just was not there. And then we go into extra time, and once again, the same problem, the same situation, the same terrible habit. First half of extra time, and it's in the 93rd minute, Asamoah Gyan, the top penalty kick taker, took advantage and scored.
Spelhaber. Offside was Donovan. He did get to it, though. This is a difficult bounce for the American defense to deal with. And Asamoah Gyan has scored! A wonderful volley goal! Yet another one from the danger striker. And the USA are in trouble again.
Of the World Cup, as Ghana made sure that the United States would not get their day of revenge 4 years later. And that's a sad thing, because once again, the defense got caught ball watching, and they just allowed Ghana to take advantage and put the ball in the back of the net to make it 2-1 after 30 minutes of extra time. The USA is going home from the World Cup. And, you know, I have, while it's been a good World Cup, it hasn't been great for the United States. It's been a good World Cup, ladies and gentlemen, that things could have been better. The starts better. And, you know, if they wouldn't have conceded early against England, against Slovenia, it almost happened against Algeria, but we got lucky the ball hit the crossbar, maybe it'd be a better World Cup. I believe, obviously, certain players that were probably needed obviously were not available, or those that were just coming back from injury just wasn't fit enough and wasn't ready enough. Maybe you use Clarence Goodson. Maybe you use him in the central defense to try and to, you know, substitute Oguchi Onyewu as your top defender. But I will say this, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is simple. We just needed healthier players and certain players that were not available to us because of the injuries, like Charlie Davies. It could have been a much better performance by the U.S. But still, take nothing away from what happened. You equalize and take a point away from England, because they said that they were going to take us out. They said 10-1, England. They assumed we were going to go down in a world of hurting, and it never did. It never happened. It never did. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that in two World Cup matches, England has never defeated the United States. Can it happen again? Can it happen that the USA, if they qualify for Brazil, does face England once again in the group stage? It's a possibility. We'll see what happens. Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I just believe that right now we are the better side than England was on that day. You can say whatever you like, what's going to happen between England and Germany in the second round tomorrow. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it really doesn't matter, because England was not good that day when they played the United States. So for some of you that have been watching today's early match, Uruguay defeats South Korea 2-1, and they move on to the quarterfinals, and they will, of course, face Ghana. Uruguay, not a slouch of a country. Of course, the original World Cup champions in 1930 as the hosts, and of course, their second World Cup champion in 1950. Could it be possible that we could see a semifinal between Uruguay and Brazil? That would be very interesting to see if that is possible. And of course, tomorrow we're going to have Argentina against Mexico, Germany against England, and then Netherlands versus Slovakia, Brazil versus Chile on Monday, and then Paraguay versus Japan, and Spain versus Portugal Tuesday. And that is the end for World Cup matches for the United States. Many other people will still be watching the World Cup. I'll be keeping an eye on it here and there. But for myself personally, it's all over. World Cup participation is over. U.S. Division II Division Soccer continues on. Major League Soccer makes a return to action. Yesterday was a 0-0 draw between San Jose and Real Salt Lake. Cardinals are playing against the Kansas City Wizards over in Kansas City, Kansas. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to bow out this quickly in the World Cup, but we did make it past the group stage, and now the preference is World Cup 2014. Will Bob Bradley stay, or will he go? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I'm going to have to end the show today. Thank you for listening to the World Cup recaps for the 40 Scenes Fire Soccer Podcast show. My next show will be coming this Monday, June 28th, 8 o'clock at night. And we are going to get reinstated with MLS action. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And